Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm Whiskey.
And I'm Charlie.
And this is Whiskey and Charlie.
Hey everyone, thanks for coming back for episode 5. Today we are going to talk about our top 10 plus Halloween and horror movies and why we like them, and we'll ask some, I guess maybe thought-provoking questions about the genres. There probably won't be good questions.
We are not movie critics or movie reviewer professionally people. So we're just having fun with it and kind of discussing what, you know, gets our goat at Halloween.
Figured you might at least find that entertaining, even if we sound like a couple of dummies.
Fair enough.
To start, we have some good news we'd like to share.
Most excellently good news.
Today, I was offered a position with a company. I've accepted the offer. Obviously, we have to go through all of the onboarding and everything before I start work, but I'm really excited about the opportunity.
And for all our family out there listening, because we know that's pretty much all that's listening right now, thank you for all the kind thoughts, words, and prayers during this time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So right into it, we did a bit of research, not necessarily about the movies.
Research is kind of the wrong word. It was more of we had a sit on the couch and let's just go over the millions of movies that, you know, we think are awesome.
Yeah, I'll rephrase that. We just thought about every horror movie that we've watched and Halloween movie and just kind of picked out the ones that we liked the most.
And it's kind of funny to see how different our opinions on and what I say is a Halloween movie versus what Charlie says is a Halloween movie.
In Whiskey's opinion, a Halloween movie is something typically that stars Tim Curry. And it's campy and silly and fun. And in my opinion, a Halloween movie makes your spine tingle and gives you a little start. So we have two very different lists here that we've each chosen 5. And I think you'll probably won't surprise any of you what our list says.
And hey, only 3 Tim Curry movies are on my list, so shush up. He's the man.
Well, you're all in for a treat, because it's only 3.
Rude. So rude. But I do have to say, I'm going to start it off now, because you mentioned my man, Tim Curry. Beautiful name, Tim. I love it. Anyways, my all-time favorite, gets me in the mood, wants me to break out the skeletons and the jack-o'-lanterns, is 1986 HBO movie special of The Worst Witch, starring Tim Curry. Well, I wouldn't say starring. He's in it for like, what, 5-10 minutes? But he sings the most amazing song all about Halloween. If you have not seen it, you need to watch it. Google it, YouTube it, whatever. It is, it's classic Tim Curry. It's just amazing. All right, so The Worst Witch is actually based on a book series. I'm not quite sure who the author is, but I know there is also a new series on Netflix that is based off the books. I tried to get into that, but I was never the book fan. I was strictly Tim Curry is a Grand Wizard fan.
I think in my adult life, I've watched this movie more than is reasonable. Because of the kids and, you know, Whiskey and their love of this movie. And I do have to say it's grown on me. While I still think it's a pretty ridiculous movie, it's fun.
It has a great message, especially for little girls growing up. It has a really cute, heartfelt message. And it actually kicked off my obsession with witches. Like, after I was introduced to that movie, every year, I swear, I was a witch for Halloween. I mean, you can look through the Halloween pictures that my mom has, and there I am with a green face and sprayed hair, because, you know, I tried to make my red hair as dark as possible, and I'd wear the black dresses, and I had to have a real witch's broom. I remember this. It was kindergarten, and I was being a witch, and I begged my mom for a real broom. Now, I don't know how or where, but I came home one day from school, and just sitting, she just had it sitting right in the foyer, or like the entryway. It was a split entry. So right there by the door, I walk in, and I just see this tall, it was way bigger than I was, witch's broom. And oh my gosh, I think I played with that broom like all year. It's not just a Halloween thing for me anymore. It was like all year. I tried to be a witch.
And I appreciate the message behind the movie of, you know, not being hostile towards people and not being rude and, you know, acceptance for all, anti-bullying. And it is a good movie and a good message. And so I appreciate that. And, you know, I think it is pretty representative of Halloween, you know, witches and warlocks. And but, you know, that I guess kind of a deeper point, and not to get all like pseudo here, but it, you know, it's just like Halloween's a time where we all represent differences and should be able to come together and enjoy, you know, the holiday season. So I think it's a good representation of that. And yeah, there's the, if you look on IMDb, the list of actors is, you know, there's some fairly big names, especially for the 80s on there. And yeah, it's Tim Curry, Firouza Balk, Diana Rigg, Charlotte Ray. So some pretty, you know, I guess reasonably sized names, especially for a TV movie.
Well, and it's great because Echo's been really getting into like these classic horror films from the 80s and 90s. And we were watching The Craft the other day, and she's grown up with the Worst Witch, so she knows the characters. And I go, look, that's Mildred Hubble. That's the Worst Witch. Because it was I can never say her name right. Faruka, that's from Willy Wonka. Anyways, I'm so sorry. But anyways, she's in it. And Echo was like, are you kidding me? I said, oh yeah, that's her. It was kind of funny.
So moving on to the top on my list, my number one favorite, I consider it a horror movie more than Halloween, but it fits the time or the era, is 28 Days Later. I absolutely love that movie as one of the, just kind of the foundations of zombie movies.
Brilliant cast. I will say that one. I am not a huge fan of zombie anything unless it's Shaun of the Dead, but brilliant cast that, I'm going to say his name wrong, so I'm not, Mr. Murphy. He is phenomenal. I used to be really irked by him, but I have fallen in love with him. Everything I watch with him, love it.
Yeah, it's, to me, the kind of the reality or the, you know, post-apocalyptic horrors are the ones I think are the most interesting. The ones where humanity just fails and we're left with just a horrible, you know, outcome. And I know that's a very dark perspective, but I think that, you know, we live in such an interesting world, but there's, you know, that type of stuff doesn't exist. You know, there's, and it's not just zombies, it's, you know, I guess pretty fitting for the year 2020, it's a rage virus, you know, so it actually affects people and turns them into this homicidal rage person, you know, and it's not a mindless zombie. They're, you know, they're hunting and trying to kill people. And I think it's just interesting because it's, well, I guess it's a potential reality, right? We could one day see something like this actually affect people. And so for me, that's where the kind of the chill comes in, is it's potentially realistic.
And that's where I check out. I try and avoid all the realistic and thinking deep thoughts into that because it's too much for me. I like to live in the world of, you know, Tim Curry singing a song about Halloween.
The premise of the movie, for those that haven't seen it, is, you know, Cillian Murphy, and I apologize if I've destroyed the name, Cillian Murphy, but he wakes up in a hospital 28 days after a post-apocalyptic event. The rage virus was laboratory grown in monkeys and got out. And so he's waking up from a coma, and just seeing these events after they've already happened. And so he's trying to navigate and understand the world he's in now.
I feel like a TV show ripped off the beginning of the show.
Possibly.
Poor shame.
The cast is pretty good cast. There's a lot of pretty big names. I mean, this movie came out in 2002, so I think it's aged well, to be honest. But it's Christopher Eccleston, it's got a pretty good cast, a pretty compelling story. I think it's more than just a slasher. You know, they're being hunted during periods of the movie. They're running, they're terrified, they're hiding in stores.
Yeah, it gets to me. I'm like I said, I don't like zombie movies because I don't like the thought of it's all over. Because, you know, The Walking Dead, there's no point. They're all going to die. They're all going to turn into zombies. It's hopeless. And that's what I don't like about zombie movies normally. But in like 28 days later, there is hope. Because, I mean, they have 28 weeks later or months later or whatever. Number two. Anyways, so there is hope that they can survive. They can overcome in 28 days later. So I do like that. And I like how it does show kind of the breakdown of humanity, of what men would do, not men as in just the gender, but what humankind would do if they were in charge, if there was no government or police forces, if they had their plot of land and controlled everything that happened in that spot. Just how good or evil they could become.
And this movie is the home of one of my favorite jokes of all time. And there's a scene where they're in a store, and they're kind of just lying on the floor for a couple of hours, and the one character says to the main character, the joke is, so a man and a giraffe walk into a bar. They stroll up to the bar and order a few drinks. Now, after about an hour, the giraffe, who has had far too much, passes out. The man, seeing this, pays his tab and gets up to leave, and the bartender shouts, hey, you can't leave that lion there! To which the man replies, that's not a lion, it's a giraffe, and walks out.
Ha 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 ha.
It's a dumb joke, I know, but it still makes me laugh, so.
Well, you are the king of dumb jokes there, Charlie. So, all right, so to kick off my second top whatever Halloween movie is definitely another Tim Curry. It's Rocky Horror Picture Show, and it's weird, it's strange, it's odd, but it's a musical, and it's fun, and how freaking fabulous does Tim Curry look in heels?
I mean, I have to admit, he's pretty impressive in a set of heels and tights.
Right? Oh, he's just the sweetest transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. I honestly, I don't remember when I was introduced to this. I probably was in high school, maybe junior high. My parents put it on once because, you know, their generation is when it came out. And it was just this fabulous cult flick that everybody loved, underground cult flick. And I thankfully had fairly liberal parents that introduced me to such great things. But I mean, it is a colorful cast. It's got a great cast. It's Tim Curry. It's got young Susan Sarandon.
Barry Bostwick.
Yeah, Barry Bostwick. It's great. It's campy as heck. And like, it's got a very colorful cast, very colorful, interesting storyline. It's not necessarily appropriate for everybody. But, you know, I love it. What can I say? It's just stupid fun for me. And, oh, it has Meatloaf. That's fun. He's awesome. So, yeah.
And the plot is very light, I guess.
Yeah, the plot is very light and gets a little confusal at moments, but kind of goes right back on track. And it's, you know, it's just one of those things that I've always, always, always wanted to go to the theater in New York and watch it, because everybody dresses up and they sing with it. They scream at it. They throw things at the movie screen. And it's just a big, huge party. And there's something about that, maybe because I'm a theater kid, but I'm like, yeah, that's my kind of people.
So I think it's, you know, the plot is basically two people break down and find a haunted mansion, and inside of it is the wildest party they'll ever find.
Not a haunted mansion, more invaded by beings from out of this world.
Yeah, I guess that would be more accurate. So a mansion occupied by aliens, and it turns into the greatest party of their life.
Right, it kind of opens their eyes to a different world. So it's if you're brave enough, or you know, whatever, watch it, give it a try. But like I said, maybe keep young eyes away from it. But it's great. And every time I see it, it's like, okay, it's Halloween. Let's bring out the cross dressing and music, and let's have some fun. Do the time warp. Why not?
And that's exactly what I was going to say. It brought a couple of very fun songs with it. The time warp being probably most notable. And I catch myself even just on average days just singing this tune in my head, to be honest. So it's that movie I first watched probably early teens, you know, with a group of friends, and it was kind of surprising, you know, seeing that movie. Not that I grew up in any type of sheltered environment. That was the first time I'd seen, you know, I guess I can recall seeing something that there's that
sexual.
No, not even that. Just that vibrant.
I can see that, because where you grew up, young teenagehood, you were in small town. So yeah, you probably didn't experience much of that. That probably was a big shocker.
Yeah, it was a little bit. So, moving on to number two on my list is, and that's not to cut Whiskey short. Moving on to number two on my list is The Purge. I fell in love with this movie back in 2013. And, you know, even last year, Whiskey and I, our costumes were from The Purge. More recent than just the original. But this movie is probably one of the just most disturbing films, and I think that's why I enjoy it so much. And now there's another movie on my list that I think is far more disturbing. But this one, it just, like, the potential for this to be a real thing. Again, back into the reality of what I like about these movies. The potential, I think, is insane. Because we're literally three steps away from having something like this as a real issue in our world. Not to go political or anything, but I think that, you know, there's a lot of strife, and something like this is it's very close.
He is a very dark, dark person. And I'm back here over here singing my time warp.
So the cast is well, the most notable in the cast is Ethan Hawke and Lena Headey. Premise, just in case you haven't ever seen it, is that there is an annual event in the world. It's the United States, I guess, or the remnants of the United States. And it's where for 24 hours, or for at least one night, not 24 hours, all crime is allowed. I mean, you can't get in trouble for what you do, and that... it goes for everything from robbing a pack of chiclets to murder. And so they, you know, they just kind of abolish everything. And it's kind of their way, I guess, of population control. You know, it's pretty reminiscent of The Hunger Games and kind of their dystopia that they have. And a lot of it supports the idea of the people that can't protect themselves are the ones who end up getting exterminated, and the people that can protect themselves. So, kind of a dark look into, you know, creating a stronger society, I guess. But, you know, we're not trying to get too analytical in the movies today, but it definitely is one of my favorite movies.
Okay, you're taking us down a dark, dark tunnel there, dear. I know people love those movies. I enjoyed the movie. As a movie, I didn't put any other thoughts into it other than just a movie, because I can't let my brain go there. But I tell you what, the one I do love, my third one is The Bride of Frankenstein. And we're talking old school 1936, I think, is what we decided. I watched it last night with my kids.
1935,
excuse me. Anyways, classic, you know, Boris Karloff is the monster. Super, like, the acting styles of that era just are terrible. I mean, I'm sorry, they were terrible. But it's just so much fun to watch. And this was another one that I got obsessed with as a kid. And one year, I think it was probably about fourth grade, I was the Bride of Frankenstein. And nobody knew who I was back then. Nowadays, I could be the Bride of Frankenstein and everybody would know who I am. It has become such a trend now, these retro movies, that it's back to its popularity as that it had in the 30s.
I like this movie a lot. You know, it's a good spin off of the original Frankenstein, and it's a little bit lighter. You know, it starts to show Frankenstein's not just a monster, that he's actually has humanity, you know, and I love the old monster movies, just the fact that they set such a good base for what we have today, I think. You know, actually, Whiskey and I were having a really interesting conversation about how these old monster movies are so mainstream or common now that, you know, in popular television shows, there's zombies and vampires and werewolves and, okay, you know, and they've become such a mainstream, like, thing where back in the 30s, you know, realistically, these were things that people were considering horror genre.
Right.
Not that these were the terrifying movies, you know, because we have, and they very well could have scared people.
Oh, I'm sure they were. You know, I mean, War of the Worlds, the radio program, terrified people to their core. I mean, it would have me, because the thought of aliens invading would, yeah. But no, they were really afraid of these, like the Swamp Thing and the Mummy. They were really terrified of these things to the point of, like, how I am terrified of the Purge, they were terrified of the monster or mummy or wolfman. And I love that nowadays we've almost become numb to them. Not necessarily numb, but accepted them. That there are how many movies about vampires and TV shows. I mean, it's TV shows. How many zombie movies and TV shows does there have to be? You know, it's kind of fun to see the progression.
The conversation just ended with why I like other movies like The Purge and, you know, the rest of the movies I'm going to talk about, because they're just a new take on horror, and it's something that isn't the kind of the old wash and repeat.
It's like up the ante for you. You needed a little bit more. Whereas me, I'm like, I'm good. Put me on the carousel and I'll go round and round and I'm just happy as a clam.
Yep, exactly. So number three on my list is VHS. And it's a 2012, in the same regard as the found footage films. It involves the story is based around a group of hoodlums, misfits, that are hired to burglarize a house. And inside the house are a bunch of VHS tapes, and they find a ton of found footage VHS tapes that this person's been collecting. And it does go through, they're looking for specifically one tape, but it goes through multiple stories, and it shows those stories. And, you know, some of them are pretty dark. Some of them deal with vampires, some of them deal with, one of them deals with somebody breaking into a hotel room in the middle of the night. And there's some really disturbing stuff in the film. And I think, you know, judge me if you want, I think that's what I found so interesting, is that it's so far out there that these are things that, you know, in the back of your mind, you're always afraid of happening. And this movie actually showed them. And they made a second movie, of course, VHS 2, and it goes, one of the stories they tell is a firsthand account of somebody being bitten by a zombie and them turning into a zombie, and they had like a GoPro on them. And so there's a lot of I still appreciate the found footage genre. Obviously, all the way back to Blair Witch, I think, was a great film, which, when I was a teenager, scared the hell out of me. You know, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. As a kid, it was startling.
I still avoid corners and basements. I mean, to this day, I still avoid them.
So VHS is a good film. It probably didn't have or doesn't have a huge following. And I think I watched it on probably just a late night looking for a horror movie, at my computer. But it's one that it definitely puts chills on the back of your neck if you're brave enough to watch it.
Yeah, I'm not. So let's bring it back to some more happiness. The last one I'm probably going to focus on right now is, you say it once, you say it twice, you say it a third time, Beetlejuice. I mean, does it get any better than that? Classic Tim Burton. I mean, good Tim Burton. He's still good. He's still great. But his old school, early 90s, late 80s movies were the best, and he killed it with Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice was fan-freaking-tastic. Still to this day, I don't think I could look at Michael Keaton and not see his head spin around, a snake's coming out. And it's probably the only Alec Baldwin movie I actually like. Not a huge fan, sorry. But it is great. Young Winona Ryder. I mean, the music, the everything was just perfect. It's a little campy. It's got a good message again, underlying message. I love it. And I also love, I don't necessarily love how they show the afterlife, but I love shows that show afterlife. So that's just kind of a fun thing for me.
Yeah, and with a cast, like Michael Keaton and Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin and Catherine O'Hara. I mean, it's just Winona Ryder. There's just, I don't think you could go wrong with a cast like that. They had such a good, I mean, I still watch this movie and laugh to mm-hmm. this day. It is one of my favorite movies too.
It's a classic, and I love that we get to share that with our kids. Alpha loves Beetlejuice. Like, he's such a nut for it. He loves watching that with me and camping it up, and it's just fun.
Yeah, and I think in the last probably 2 weeks, that movie's played 5 or 6 times in this house.
Oh, for sure. But I can't get enough of it. It's just, I mean, essential Halloween movie.
The fourth movie on my list is from 2007, and it's another found footage movie called REC, REC. It's the recording symbol with the red dot. And it's it is a foreign film from Spain, and it was the U.S. had a version come out called Quarantine, I believe. Very, very similar concept about a group of firefighters who are trapped in an apartment complex that has now gone under quarantine from supernatural diseased, like this, just a really bizarre, like terrifying situation. And how it's recorded is there's a film crew with them that just so happened to be with the firefighters, doing a kind of a news special for their local station. And so the camera and the anchor or the reporter are in the apartment with the apartment complex, and the whole thing gets shut down and put under quarantine. And, I think for me, it's got a little girl that is terrifying. And for me, that is exactly why I love the movie so much. Kids and horror and dolls are the worst things ever.
You should have saw him when we were watching The Haunting of Bly Manor the other day, and she goes into the basement and there's all those dolls. Yeah, that was classic.
Yep, I just noped and closed my eyes for a second. I don't claim to be any more courageous than I am, and dolls, nope, that's the line I don't cross. So, I think it's worth the watch. It's definitely a strong movie, and I like the found footage films, and this one is just a really, it's really well done. And you know, it was filmed in Spanish, and you can watch it in Spanish, but it had subtitles. For me, I've never had an issue watching a movie with subtitles, but I appreciate that it's not dubbed, or at least the version I watched wasn't dubbed, and so I was able to read. I kind of just tuned out the spoken words and read the dialogue.
Well, and I've actually seen this one and Quarantine, and I will say Quarantine, meh. This one, terrifying. So, I mean, be cautious when watching.
Yeah, and I mean, from the, you start to get the creeps, like, in the, as they get into the apartment, and you start to see, like, the things flashing by, and, you know, the little bit of startling, and then it gets right up to the end where it just, like, traumatizes you.
All right, so I guess I'm going to do another, but it's not really one movie. I'm going to give you the Coronado Trilogy. Now, side note, I've met a few celebrities at Comic-Cons, right? I have never lost my cool like I did when I met Simon Pegg. He's my love, okay? I will admit that here. Now, I even told him and professed to him my love for him. So him and Nick Frost are just, they're incredible. I love them. So the Coronado Trilogy, for those living under a rock, is Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and Outworld's End. Now, they kind of go in my order of liking, too, how I would rank them. Shaun of the Dead is classic. I love their take on zombies, and I love how it has a happy ending. Zombie movie with a happy ending is a win in my book. I just love that it sees these two guys just sticking together, trying just to make it through. Like, just, they don't want to be heroes. They just want to make it through, and they want to save their girl and save as many people as they can. So I love that. And then Hot Fuzz, again, two guys coming together to save their town. And it's so funny. Both of them are hilarious. I mean, killing zombies with records, that's pretty awesome. Or a cricket bat, like, love it. Hot Fuzz, there's a cult taking over, trying to make the perfect town. You know, the saying that they kill people for the greater good. They want to be the best town in England, and they want to win the prettiest town in England, and no crime. And so they go to pretty extreme lengths to do so. And it's just funny to watch big city cop Simon Pegg. I think his name is Nick in that one.
Yeah,
I'm not for sure. I feel so bad now. Anyways, he's a big city London cop sent to this small town, and how he cracks the case and, you know, saves the day. It's pretty awesome. At World's End is aliens. So we have zombies, we have cult, and we have aliens. So it's an alien invasion taking over, and it's about a group of friends that go from pub to pub to pub, and At World's End is the last pub on their pub tour, and come to find out they're one of their friends with them, Martin Freeman's an alien, and they find the alien bunker, and of course they save the day. So those ones are just fun. They're silly. They're campy. They're a comedic take on, like I said, aliens, cults, and zombies. So, you know, just give them a watch. I mean, nothing else. Just watch some good old Nick Frost and Simon Pegg at their best.
One thing I love about these movies is that they put so much thought into telling the stories. There are a lot of examples. Well, like in Shaun of the Dead, you know, within the first 2-3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever of the movie, you get the whole plot. Everything is outlined exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then the movie just goes through exactly what they said they want to do. You know, they want to go pick up Liz. They want to go to the pub.
I correct you. They take the car. They go to Mum's. They kill Phil. Sorry, Phil. They grab Liz, go to the Winchester, grab a cold pint, and wait for the whole thing to blow over.
Perfect. Then they, you know, they did that with the other two movies as well. They just put so much forethought into how they were going to make the movie and tell the story. And I think they turned out to be such great movies. And, you know, you get a lot of movies that are just action driven or just slapstick humor. And these ones were just well developed, funny movies.
And I like how they have a nod to classics like Night of the Living Dead and, you know, all those. They put nods to them and they're basically like, you've paved the way. This is what we're doing. And fun fact, in Shaun of the Dead, there's one wound that Shaun receives, and they actually had a neurosurgeon tell them exactly where to put a dart in someone's head that wouldn't kill them or paralyze them or anything. And so they went to that great of lengths to get it right, which is just kind of fun. And the list of actors in these movies, they always use the same actors over and over. Some of them have bigger parts and some of them have little parts in each movie. But they're all together, and it's just like a group of friends got together and said, let's do this. And they did it, and they did it three times over, and I love it. If you're a fan of British actors or British comedies, you will recognize 99% of that cast.
Yep, and still, I think we definitely have watched all three of those numerous times, and we enjoy them a lot. Moving on to the next, which is number 5 on my list, is a movie that comes out of Ireland, and it's something that one of my really good friends told me I needed to watch, is called Grabbers. It's a movie from 2012, and it's, the island, there's an island off the coast of Ireland, and a blood-sucking alien attacks the island, and it doesn't like intoxicated people, so it actually harms them. Now, fortune be in their favor, they are in Ireland, and so once they realize that it doesn't attack the drunks, then they all get drunk, and so they spend the rest of the movie just being completely drunk until the alien dies. And I tell you, I laughed so hard with this movie that I am surprised I didn't wake up the whole house when I watched it the first time. It's just, it's campy, it's silly, it's not a horror movie by any real measure. It's, you know, it's actually labeled as a comedy on IMDb. No A-list actors, which is great. You know, it's about a guy who is down on his luck. He's a cop. And, you know, he's an alcoholic, and he's, you know, he just so happens to be the one of two or three cops on the island as this alien attacks, and they save the village. So along the same lines as the, you know, the Simon Pegg and Nick Frost movies that we were previously talking about, this one's just a good, fun movie. And, you know, I there's some vulgarity, swearing, drinking, things like that, but it's definitely probably, I'd have to say, for being number 5 on my list, it is very close to the one of my favorite movies I've ever seen.
Well, I tell you, like, aliens that didn't like intoxication, avoid Ireland and Russia.
Yeah, if only they knew, right? So the I'd say, you know, those are our list of at least the 10 movies that we like the most. Well, I guess 12 if you count, because Whiskey had 7 movies technically. So,
and technically I don't like all of yours, so
well, I don't like all of yours. But those are the combined list of movies that we enjoy the most, at least this genre of Halloween and horror. You know, a couple of things that we thought about as we were putting this together were, you know, some questions, and one question that we asked each other was really what defines a Halloween movie. I think Halloween is such a broad topic.
Well, and I did try to Google this and see what Google would tell me, if Google would give me a definitive answer, and it doesn't. You type in what constitutes a Halloween movie, and it just pops up with Michael Myers, which, yes, we can all agree, Halloween, the original, is amazing. It's perfect Halloween movie. But what defines a Halloween movie? Like, for me, it's different. I like it to take place around Halloween. I like it to give me the Halloween feels, you know, like Hocus Pocus even, you know, those kind of things. I like the traditional Halloween time Halloween movies.
And I think that's a good point, because I think Halloween movies are specific to how the season makes you feel. You know, like you take a It's a Great Pumpkin, or The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. And it's, you know, that's probably the most Halloween movie you'll ever see, or Halloween show. I guess it's technically a movie, right? But it's and it's a Charlie Brown, so it's funny, it's silly, you know. But I think what defines a Halloween movie is whatever makes you feel like you're in the Halloween mindset, you know, the kind of the crisp in the air, you know, autumn's coming on, and just kind of enjoying, you know, I guess long sleeve shirts, and, you know, just the heat of summer wearing off.
And the pumpkin spice cappuccinos,
if that's what you like. And then, you know, we also asked each other, kind of, where do you draw the line? What pushes a movie too far for you?
Right, like with me, I'm okay watching possession movies or demonic movies or like paranormal movies, even some slasher movies I'm okay with. Where I draw the line is where it becomes like too dirty and violent. I don't like the two mix. I really don't. And I hate it. You said you don't like little kids in movies. Well, I hate when they use babies as like demonic things, or they try to like, I don't know, like in Penny Dreadful. I was really digging Penny Dreadful until they brought a baby in and they were like mutating the baby and kind of doing like this ritual on it. And I'm like, no, I'm out. Straight out. Don't mess with babies.
I think that goes back to when we were in Germany and you watched Rosemary's Baby while you were pregnant with Echo.
Yeah, that was awesome. I first time ever watching Rosemary's Baby, and I was pregnant going, huh.
I think for me, what draws the line is anything with dolls. Like, I can watch a movie and get a good scare out of dolls, but I don't just voluntarily go and watch a movie based around haunted doll, like Annabelle and The Conjuring. Like, I enjoy the movies, but they're probably, I don't find as much enjoyment out of those. I'll be honest here. I think what scares me most about dolls, or what unsettles me most about dolls, is that as a kid, whenever I'd go in my grandpa's basement, there were dolls set up, like the weirdest dolls set up on this red couch of his down there.
They weren't weird. They were classic. I had the same dolls at my house. Me and my mom were huge doll collectors and lovers, so this just makes me giggle.
So you heard it here first, that Whiskey had weird dolls growing up.
Classic, vintage, priceless dolls.
They had their eyes would open and close by themselves, and I swear to God, there were more than one occasion where I'd walk down to that basement and like they'd be sitting up and their eyes would be closed, and then they'd pop open. But I'm not even, like, I can't do that.
My mom still has one in her basement. She'll pull out for Halloween decorations, and you raise up her arms, and one of them doesn't move. It'll stay up, but the other one, after a few minutes, and you gotta wait a few minutes, will slowly just start falling by itself. Creepiest thing, but it's so awesome to freak people out with it.
The amount of times I walked down to that basement and there was one eye open on a doll, you can like dolls all you want. I am not going to have it.
All right, so that leads us into the next question. What is your favorite Halloween monster? I mean, clearly, we know it's not dolls, but we know how to scare you. For me, I am such an OG. I love the vampires. I really do. Those are kind of my... Well, no, witches. No. Witches are vampires. Maybe a witch that is a vampire? No, according to Buffy, you can't do that. No, I don't know. Oh my gosh, I don't know. Choose a day, and I'll tell you.
Welcome to the last 18 years of our marriage. She cannot make a decision to save her life.
No, I really can't. But okay, so what's your favorite monster?
I think my favorite monster is the one you don't see, to be honest. It's, you know, there was a movie we watched recently called The Ritual, and it was set in, I'm not exactly sure, I want to say the Norwegian forest, but it could have been Swedish, but it was Swedish, yeah. So it was about an old Norse god, but you don't see the monster until the very end of the movie, and that's the type of movie I like, where it's hinting at the monster, it's you can hear and you can see a glimpse of the monster, and you know, you can see what the monster has done, if it's killed something or where it's been, but you don't actually get eyes on the monster until the very end, the climactic scene where it's scaring the life out of you.
Right, no, I agree. I love it when you don't see the monster. Sometimes, like even in The Ritual, once I saw the monster, it was terrifying because it's creepy, but it still kind of loses some of that scare for me once I see it. Like, I don't remember what one it was. It was one of those whole series of movies where the guy has to, where is that when you sleep dream?
It was Insidious, and it's where you astral project.
Yeah, astral project. Thank you. Sorry, I will ramble. But anyway, so we're watching Insidious, and I'm getting really scared, really freaked out. And then all of a sudden, you see the demon, and he's filing his nails, and I burst into laughter. Like, I could not contain my laughter, because I'm going, that's Darth Maul. Darth Maul is the villain. What?
It was Darth Maul in his workshop filing his fingernails.
Well, now we know what happened to the top half of him, at least.
And so we both kind of lost interest in that movie after we spent the rest of the evening mocking the monster or the bad guy from the movie.
I like the mystery. I keep it hidden if you can. I mean, if you have to show it, don't screw it up. Don't make it Darth Maul. But I like the mystery.
Well, and that was like the Conjuring. You know, I think they did a great job with their ghosts, where, you know, you see all of the effects, but you don't actually see the ghost or the being itself. You know, it's just everything's being tormented. But I think that was probably why I liked those movies the most.
No, I agree. Either show the monster right away or don't show him at all. Because, like, so we're watching The Haunting of Bly Manor, and I'm trying not to give out too many spoilers, but, they're showing right away. They're not hiding it. I mean, they're kind of hiding it. So unless you're like me and you look at the details and you're looking at the background, you don't see it. But they're doing it so brilliantly. It's I'm loving it. So either show the monster right away or don't.
Well, and the way they're showing the monsters is, or the, you know, the
entities.
The entities is enough that you're not focusing on it. It's not like they're showing it right to you. It's always off to the side, or it's always, you know, hidden in a corner. One movie that I think was done well was Sinister, with Ethan Hawke, where they, you know, you get all of the build-up and all of that, you know, everything that outlines what the monster or the, you know, the terror is, and it shows you right at the end of the movie, you know, or, you know, towards the end of the movie, what the, you know, what the creature is.
And he looks just like a border collie. Just that's all I'm going to say.
So, the funniest story, we went home after watching the movie in the theater, and we, you know, we went to bed, and middle of the night, we had a border collie. His name was Marvel. And middle of the night, Whiskey wakes up, and Marvel's face is right in front of her, and she literally screamed in the middle of the night because she thought it was the monster from Sinister.
Looks exactly like a border collie, like the markings on the face. I was like, oh my gosh, no, you didn't.
And we had a good laugh about that. So, to our final question of what makes a good scary movie?
I feel like I kind of touched on it with the don't show the monster, or do show the monster, you know, but show it right away. I like the Blair Witch. Do we actually ever see the witch? That's what's creepy. You don't see her. You just see the effects of her. And then, like, when she goes down into the basement and the dude's just in the corner, terrifying. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I found out it was fake before I watched it, because otherwise, oh, Charlie would have to talk me down from a ledge, because it was terrifying. I love the mystery of it. I love just letting your imagination run completely wild. I think that's what makes a good scary for me. Like, what is it? Above, below one?
As above, so below.
Yeah, that one is another good one where they're in the catacombs in France or in Paris. That's just creepy. I love those ones.
And I think for me, what makes a good scary movie is when it's the environment or something that you just isn't physicalized, you know, where like Chernobyl Diaries, right? The what's scary is the environment. As above, so below. It's, you know, I think those are the ones I like the most, where it's something you can't actually, you know, you can't just like grab it and slap it or shoot it, or, you know, it's, yeah, so that's where what I think makes the best scary movies.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, I'm a big paranormal nerd, so those just get me going. And I'm like, yeah, let's have some more. Let's go find these ghosts. But okay, so our last and final question for the evening, ladies and gentlemen, is favorite Halloween movie actor or actress? And this one is so tough. I won't say Tim Curry, though I want to say Tim Curry. Actresses-wise, I'd have to say, like, maybe what, Christina Ricci? She's in a couple of my favorites, like Addams Family. She's in Sleepy Hollow. She's a good one. I also really like Jamie Lee Curtis because she's the original Scream Queen. So, yeah, I'd probably go with her. Actor-wise, not Benicio. What's his name? Javier Bardem. He's technically not a Halloween actor, but there has never been an actor to scare me to my core as much as he has. No Country for Old Men has ruined me. I used to adore this man. I used to think he was so attractive and so wonderful until I saw that movie. And now I think I would run and scream the other way and literally cry if I ever saw him in public.
That movie is probably the movie's good. It's a good story about, you know, like coming of age. But Anton Chigurh, the character that he plays in that movie, is probably the most terrifying character.
And then he's in that 007 movie as the villain, and he's so creepy. Like, no, go back to where you're sexy, like Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I want that, Javier. Like, oh, Javier, you've ruined me.
And so I'd have to say my list of favorite actors and actresses. I've always been a big fan of Alien, and so I think Sigourney Weaver is probably my favorite actress in horror movies.
Ghostbusters. Love her in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, she's great in Ghostbusters. I think she plays such a good character, good raw character, you know.
Ripley is pretty bad, eh? Like, she's one tough cookie.
Yep, and I think my favorite actor in horror films is Ben Foster.
Oh my gosh, she has such a thing for Ben Foster. It's adorable.
30 Days of Night, Pandorum. Like, he's so good at just playing that just creepy-ass dude.
I will say he is one of the most underrated actors in Hollywood. He started out as, what, a Disney actor? And he grew up to be amazing. He's brilliant acting-wise, but he is creepy. Creepy.
Yeah, and I think he's probably my favorite actor in most movies, I'll admit. And I think we have a few honorable mentions at least. We won't go into too much detail about the movies, but there were a lot of movies that couldn't make our list, and we did try to mention some of them along the way. Chernobyl Diaries, Let the Right One In is a great Swedish vampire movie.
Again, watch the original Swedish version, not the American one.
And As Above, So Below is a great movie. The Ritual is still one of my probably top 10. Honorable mentions, I think, are Army of Darkness, Alien, which is such a good foundation for the horror genre. Saw, I know a lot of people hated that movie, but I was a diehard fan of that movie, and still to this day, Jigsaw is probably one of the most intriguing and terrifying. But back to the puppets.
I can't even have him talk about that movie. That's how much I just know. I don't want it in my house. I don't want it anywhere near me.
And then Cloverfield, which is, I think, one of the best, like, giant monster space alien movies. And I loved that they finally came out with the other two. Cloverfield Lane and Cloverfield Paradox, because they kind of tied the whole story together, where they just left it sitting at the first movie. And then, as I've just mentioned, Pandorum and 30 Days of Night, both great movies. Pandorum is, you know, it's like space zombies. 30 Days of Night is Alaskan vampires. So
creepy, weird vampires, too. I'll quickly go over mine. My honorable mentions is definitely different than Charlie's over there. It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Can't be Halloween without that. Hocus Pocus. Who doesn't love a good Bette Midler? The original Ghostbusters. Now, I do love the new one. I love the ladies. But it's not Halloween to me. The original Ghostbusters is. The original Friday the 13th. Classic Kevin Bacon. Love it. The original Halloween. Like I said, Jamie Lee Curtis is the Scream Queen. And Michael Myers. Perfect villain. Perfect. You run and he's still going to get you. Evil Dead, you said Army of Darkness. Evil Dead is the prequel, if you will. I love it. It's a good campy one. Psycho, the original Psycho. That one, just a creepy story. It. I love the original It, and I love the new It. You can't compare the two Pennywises, because that's like comparing apples to oranges. They're both brilliant in their own ways. Blair Witch, I mentioned that. Oh my gosh, that was terrifying. The original Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I love that one. Pee-wee Herman is a vampire. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. And then Fright Night. Now, there might be people that argue with me, but I like the new Fright Night with David Tennant and Anton Yelchin. Rest his soul, because he was a brilliant, brilliant guy taken too soon. I love the new Fright Night. The old Fright Night's good, right? It's all right, but not my jam.
And I think one that I forgot and I'd like to mention too is in line with the omnipresent serial killer murderer that follows you everywhere. And It Follows is probably one of the best movies that is, I think it's very underrated. I don't know a lot of people that really talked about it a lot.
I think a lot of people thought it was just a dirty movie. They didn't give it a chance.
Well, I think there's reason behind that. You know, the girl has to have sex to get rid of the demon or the bad spirit. But the fact that it's always there and it's just like haunting and it's ever present and it's gonna eventually kill you. I like that, and that's one thing I think makes a good scary movie too. Is the killer that just no matter what you do, it always appears.
Michael Myers. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks for sticking it out. If you stuck it out till the end, thank you. It really means a lot to us. We love the support, and thank you for all the ears listening to this.
You can find us on Facebook. We have Whiskey and Charlie Studio on Facebook, so feel free to give us a like and a follow there. If you have any questions or anything you'd like to direct to us, or you know, if you'd just like to share what your favorite Halloween movies are. We'd be happy to read it there, and I hope you look forward to the next episode. We're going to strive to stay consistent now with our schedule set up, where we release Monday morning and an episode Thursday morning, and that'll give us time for, you know, production and, you know, time to make those episodes and get some planning in place. And you should be listening to this probably Thursday or shortly after, and then you'll see a new episode the following Monday
with hopefully better sound quality. Woohoo! Upgrading the Whiskey and Charlie studio.
Have a good day, and remember to go find your Yeti.